Welcome to Wing Chun Talk. Wing Chun Talk podcast is dedicated to talking all things Wing Chun. Your host, Sean Benson, has the pleasure of sitting down with other Wing Chun practitioners from around the world. If you are interested in Wing Chun or want to connect with other Wing Chun practitioners, then this podcast is for you. Sit back and enjoy Wing Chun Talk.
Awesome. Okay. Okay, welcome. I got a special guest today, Sifu Jack Stati. We're going to have a little discussion on Wing Chun, however we spell it, however we pronounce it. Obviously, this is the first one, so welcome, Sifu. Thanks for doing this today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a very nice thing to do, and I sure do appreciate it, and it's been great getting to know you.
Yeah, obviously we have a bit of time right now, right, with the things that are happening, but how are you spending some of your time right now?
Oh, everything from getting my butt kicked on Xbox with my son to house training a stray that we found out there in the weather to playing a lot of Ving Sun.
Nice. Yeah, I got a couple of little ones doing some homeschooling with the one and trying to move my dummy from downstairs to the garage. So clean the garage out. So that's spick and span. So now it's just time to hit that up. But, so yeah, anyways, I guess let's jump into kind of your background. What tell us a little bit about your story. Like, how did you get into Wing Chun?
Right. Well, that's a great question. When I was in the military and I was in, it was my first exposure to martial arts. And when I was growing up as a kid, and one of the places I grew up as a military kid was in Las Vegas. And that's where I wanted to learn martial arts, but wasn't in the area that I lived. It wasn't really ethical. Things changed quite a bit in that region now, but. Anyway, when I was in Asia, I was pretty excited, and there was a martial artist that had a bunch of students there, and so I got into that class, and that guy was doing a lot of dynamic kicks, a lot of things that I would practice later as a young martial artist, you know, being athletic and being young and being able to jump and do a lot of fancy kicks and exciting stuff like that. So I was drawn to that class, but then I saw this gentleman, he was 42 at the time, and he was unable to do the techniques that he was teaching us. And that really resonated with me, that really clicked with me. I never forgot that. And there was a gentleman right down the hall, and he was dressed different. He didn't have on a gi, he had on all black clothing, and he also was an Asian man in that area that had facial hair, which he didn't see too much. So I went down the hall, and he was a kung fu guy. So that began my kung fu journey, and I trained there for a few months before I left Asia. And I was just a kickboxer, basically. And, you know, there's an expression, you know, that somebody that doesn't have a martial arts system and they're just interested in martial arts, they like to go to different places and say, let's share a little. And that's not good etiquette, you know. That's not good etiquette at all. That's like going to a restaurant where a bunch of people have paid for all of their meal and they've waited for it to be prepared and cooked, and then you walk in and sit down and say, let me eat a little from your plate, a little from your plate, a little. Okay, thanks, everybody, and then I leave. Hey, you guys pay for it, you know. I didn't know that my manners were so bad. You would have thought that I would have known better, but I didn't. So anyway, that's the kind of martial artist that I was at the time. I sparred and did a lot of martial arts with other military people and just got exposed to a lot of different systems, and it was a wonderful time. And so then my journey into Ving Sun, there's an expression that all martial arts artists eventually come to Ving Sun. I think I fit that mold. And in 2004, in December of 2004, I recognized that really didn't have the unity. I felt a disassociation physically and mentally and spiritually. I just didn't feel like those spheres were coming together. And I didn't feel a unity and a wholeness. I felt that there was these kind of disconnects. And I knew I needed to do more than just get into shape. I needed to start playing my kung fu again. So at that time, we only had simple searches on the internet. So I did one of those simple searches. And it was my good fortune. I saw that there was a Moyat Wing Sun Seafood just 16 miles from me in northern New York. And I couldn't believe my good fortune. And so I went and interviewed with him. And I did know some correct things. Like, I don't know if you have any students, but it's quite irritating when somebody calls. They don't introduce themselves. They don't say what their name is. They don't ask who the Sifu is, and they just basically say, how much? When do you meet? What do you meet? How much again? So that's quite frustrating. So anyway, I met and interviewed with my Sifu, and he saw that I had good etiquette, and I had learned from my mistakes in the past and things like that, so have proper etiquette. And so it was my good fortune that he took me on as a student. He was the 29th disciple of Grandmaster Moyat. In 1975, he heard that there was a teacher of Great Grandmaster Yip Man that was not only here in the United States, but was teaching to non-Chinese people. And so he thought that was great good fortune, and he got in contact and received an invite to come to New York and study quite diligently there, and was the 29th disciple of Great Grandmaster Moyat. So I studied with him for, I became a Wing Sun Sifu in 2006, and continued a real close relationship with Moy 29, probably till about 2015. And then, 2017, I came here to Mississippi and left upstate New York. So that's my journey, buddy. It's been about a 16-year journey in Wing Sun, and, I just never get bored with it. Never get bored with Wing Sun.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. That's quite the journey. Yeah. From like mixed kind of, like you said, a mixed kind of, bag of the other kind of arts. And then you kind of funnel into, Wing Chun. Mine's a little bit different. I didn't do any previously. I saw some friends. They were training in a different city, and they did a video recording of their, one of their gradings. And I was just like, oh my goodness, they showed it to me. I got to do that. So just ask for a reference, some kind of who their club Sifu would recommend in the city I lived at. And they recommended two. And I literally went to the one, and have trained there since. So, I thought, yeah, the one Sifu, and enjoy it, learn lots, still learning. It seems like little lights come on when you're, training with partners or self-training, right? So, and as of right now, it's a little, it's just kind of getting motivated to train on your own. So I like the structure of having classes and going to classes. And right now I'm a student still. Still learning. That's kind of what.
Along that lines, I also had the good fortune that my Sihings were John Juliana and George Loing Cantnell. And just having them as an influence as well, just a tremendous benefit.
Yeah. Awesome.
Wing Sun is not something that you really can maintain in isolation. I mean, it's important to go away at times and explore and to really learn Wing Sun that you can't learn from a classroom. And then, of course, Wing Sun is wonderful because you really do need other people. Mm. And so I had the good fortune of not only having Moy 29 as my sister, but also George Loencano and John Juliana as my seedings. It was a wonderful experience.
Awesome. So, I mean, you kind of gave me the rundown. I know you did a video, too, on your page, because I've been following you, too, for a little while. Why Wing Chun? Did you touch on that like a little bit? Like, I know you kind of did the other ones, and just kind of touched just briefly.
Wing Chun appeals to me because, on so many levels, right? In so many levels. So, initially, Wing Chun appeals to me still on an initial level, in that it is simple to learn. The Wing Chun vocabulary is based on Chan, Bong, and Fu. And the vocabulary is built on that structure. Viewing Wing Chun as a language, as was taught to me by my Sifu, Sifu Moi 29, I understand Wing Chun to be a language. And that language is not difficult to learn. I found the difficulty was in me. I have concepts of what a punch is or a palm is, and have absolutely no experience with such centerline theories as are articulated in Wing Chun. And so, former martial artists, I think, are at a disadvantage. And also, any know-it-alls. You know, when you come into the art and you just know everything, you're not really at peace with yourself, and you can't just sit back and listen to the sutra. My teacher was being so clear. Wing Chun has a vocabulary that's based on Chan, Bong, and Fu. And the longer that I play my Wing Chun, the more clear that simple teaching that he continually emphasized to us brings clarity to Wing Chun. I think that's, for me, it's still the greatest appeal. Wing Chun is easy to learn, it's hard to master, but for right now, I just like to set on the side of Wing Chun is easy to learn.
Yeah, I totally, like, simple, but, difficult to master, I guess, so, and it takes hours, right? Like, I mean, it's just sometimes simple principles, though, are really tough ones to get fixed in our brain, right? They kind of, it's like, it's almost too simple that it's just like, that's odd. But I was going to go off, but I kind of forgot what I was going to, just what you were speaking to a little bit.
Thoughts there. You know, along that lines, Wing Chun also appeals to me because you have three open hand forms, you know, if you don't include the zhong. And isn't that nice? So I had a mentor in my academic years that had an expression to study until simplicity. And that makes sense. If you really understand something, you should be able to redact it in such a way that it's simple to remember, it's simple to learn, and it shows its own progression. And Wing Chun follows all of those things. And so it's very appealing to me in that the genius of those that put it together is reflected in its simplicity. Mm. Not that it's complex, much larger, but the way to approach it is always with simplicity. And this idea that Wing Chun has a vocabulary, and that when we're engaging with our partner, for example, you know, that's a communication that we're having, and like not an argument. And so Wing Chun on so many levels is appealing, but again, it's simplicity. Based on Tan Bong and Fu, our language is articulated, and then our textbooks are in Silin Tao, Chung Kyu, and Biuju. Mm. So isn't that take those three and put them together on the zhong in 108 postures or forms. Wow. You really become impressed with Wing Chun as a system, as a complete system.
Totally. I recalled what I was going to mention too, a little bit off what we were going to talk about. But do you agree about advanced techniques, or do you just think, I mean, there's no real, like, secret / advanced technique, right? Everything is pretty basic, would you say? Or would you...
Grandmaster Moriat, he had an expression that advanced techniques are the basic techniques, you know, perfected. Those are... I had the good fortune that my Sifu would always bring to our attention that we should be very pleased wherever we are at in the system. We're at the right place. And he would bring forth an emphasis that emphasized something like, don't think in the future. And also, we don't return to things that we have mastered with progressing and building our vocabulary. So we're not going back. We're moving forward. But, wherever you're at right now is where you should be happy with and working at. So, and of course, when you finish the system, you finish the Zhong, that's really where your Bing Sun begins. So I think the way that we are conditioned to learn ends up affecting our understanding of the way that we learn in Bing Sun. For example, my son is about to graduate high school now. He spent the last 12 years sit down, be quiet, listen to what I say, and then regurgitate it. If you can regurgitate it, that means that you know it and you can move forward. But Bing Sun, the memorization, isn't the goal. The internalization or the embodiment of the concept of Bing Sun as a language based on Tongtong and Fu on the center line, etc., is the goal, the embodiment. So even when one finishes the system, that's really just the beginning of the journey, because the embodiment hasn't happened yet. So you know this all the way from the level of Silam Tao. Silam Tao at first is just trying to memorize the sequence, and your Sifu is always telling you this is about proper hand and hand positions and proper posture and how the elbow it plays into these different three hands, and constantly saying that. And as new students, we kind of nod to the Sifu, and then we get back to the memorization, because that's the learning.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. So we got to let go of that kind of stuff. So our even in our Silam Tao, we see that once we memorize it, then we can really begin exploring Silam Tao. And then Silam Tao becomes different, for example, after Bilji, because now you have Bilji energy in your hands. You've learned to relax and breathe properly. The punches don't look the same. And so your energy changes as your Kung Fu progresses in Bing Sun as well. So, and that's just the first form. It's just the first form. The dynamic element of Bing Sun in its simplicity. But there's always more to explore.
For sure. And just kind of to add a little question on top of that, like, I mean, are you, your learning, is it linear as in, like the Silam Tao, the Chum Kyu, the Bilji, and then the dummy, or, and then basically after that, it's, you've completed the forms and you
can. I think one of the many blessings that Grandmaster Moriat gave to us, in the martial arts world and in Bing Sun and also in his Moriat disciples, and those of us that learn from his direct disciples, what is so wonderful is this brilliant curriculum that I don't have a lot of experience with other Bing Sun fellows, but I haven't seen that curriculum in other places. Grandmaster Moriat seemed to make it even more clear and very easy for a practitioner and a pupil, I should say. Let me put it this way. Grandmaster Moriat seemed to be able to know what drills to put with what parts of each form. So not only are you progressing in your form, you're progressing on your drills. And there's a lot of teaching that happens in each section. So Selim Tal begins in the first section for, I guess, about the first 3 months. It depends on the student, though, right?
Yeah.
Roughly speaking, the first 3 months, they are learning Selim Tal, the first section. And in that first section, they're learning also the drills of Pak Sal and Pak Da. So they're learning the three paks, the three punches, and then Pak Da. And then the second section is taught of Selim Tal. And in that section, they get the Lap Da drill. So some other families have a different curriculum where they're teaching the same components. But what I think is so wonderful, what is so brilliant about Grandmaster Moyat's curriculum is he just makes it easy to learn Ving Sun. He makes it easy for us to learn the basic Ving Sun vocabulary of Tan Bong and Phuc, like A, B's, and C's, that he then clearly puts into words and phrases, and then allows us to not only have a conversation with those things, but then to be able to have an improvised conversation.
Nice.
I've lost, how do we teach students? So we teach them different drills in different forms. We teach them different, and in each form, we teach them different drills, whether they be in the first section, second section, or third section. So Selim Tal has a first section, second section, and third section. Likewise, some Q, likewise, Biogi. After Biogi, when the Hun is learned, Grandmaster Moyat taught that the Hun was given, if memory serves me right from what my Sifu taught me, then that they're prepared to begin learning the Zhang. So that's important to be able to have the Hun sequence in Chung Q down. So different drills are given and then incorporated at different forms.
Sure. Yeah. So the dummies inserted Chump Q timeline ish or something? Is that kind of what you were saying with your with Moyat?
The way that I learned how we moved through the system came through Grandmaster Moy 29, my Sifu, and my Sifu taught us that Selim Tal, there's the building of energy so that we can do things in Chum Q and be sure we have proper hand and foot positions, but we're strong enough because we've been in this horse as we work our hands in Yichi Kim Yuma. And then after Chum Q, then you learn Biogi, which is emergency techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you need to escape? Something broke down. I mean, Class A Kung Fu is the three punches, right? Yeah. So something happened. Something happened where we're in this position, so we have to recover, etc., right? So Biogi was taught to me as emergency techniques and the idea of standard compass. So you learn Selim Tal to, among other things, but in the beginning to strengthen the body. Some Q allows us to do the movement we need, and now we're strong enough to do that. We have good posture, so we can build on what we learned in Selim Tal. And then in Chum Q, we learn what happens when this system breaks down. What happens when the concepts or the principles of our hands, when we're here, and then somehow we find that we've got our hands trapped. And so that is a progression. And then the Mukdong Zhong is taught as, okay, we're going to put the three systems, we're going to put the three forms together on one form.
Gotcha.
So that's my understanding of the system.
Gotcha.
So in our school, new students didn't even go into the area where the Zhong was. And when Sifu Moy 29, when he taught the Zhong to a student, when they went from Chum Q, from Biogi they finished, and then the next time they come to class, okay, let's go inside and learn the junk. That was done privately and with maybe a C-hang. And the other students would be practicing whatever they were practicing that day. Mm. So Sifu did this because he wanted to help people. He would say this all the time, especially when people would begin looking over at the zhong, and let's say they're in whatever form, it doesn't matter. He would say, you know, you don't want to be enamored with the zhong. People become enamored with the zhong, and he also would say the same thing, people become enamored with qi sao. And so he would say, when you should be happy where you're at today, in your growth today, whatever you're working on today, so that when you do go in there, the zhong, you can just do like we did to you today. Where it's easy to teach you today because we built on last week. And so it was more progressive in the school. You progress from one open hand form, and when you finish dealing, you go to the zhong.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting. Huh. So what made you, like, you trained, did, like, how does it work, I guess, in your system, your school? Do you hit an instructor level and then you get the blessing, or you move and then you're okay to, you've, different schools, I don't know, like, they have an instructor level, or you've hit a certain just knowledge level within the club where, you know, you'll get the blessing, and if he wants to open a club or teach, then you're good to go. How did it work for you?
The way that Grandmaster Moi 29 taught it to us, he taught us that being a Sifu meant that you have completed the system, and that you have had the energy transmitted to you from the Sifu, and you can transmit the system to somebody else. Mm. That's the way that he constantly defined what it meant to be a Sifu for us. Mm. He also reminded us repeatedly, basically not to imitate other cultures. This is American culture, so we're not a bowing culture. So when you come over to my kun, that's why we don't bow. It's not disrespectful. It's not respectful. It's just the way that it is. So that's the way that he conducted himself. Grandmaster Moyat would bring people through the system, and when they finished the Mukyong Zhong, if he felt they had proficiency to not only do everything that you do in the system, but also be able to transmit it, then he would give you his certificate, which is stamped with his seal and sign.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Random question. Have you ever been outside of, like, where you live, your area, to, say, go Hong Kong, China, elsewhere, another country to train? Have you had a chance to do that?
No, I've never trained Ving Sun except in New York and here in Mississippi when I took on some students. So, no, I haven't, no.
No, not me either. I mean, it's kind of my Sifu, still has his club going. I'd like to kind of check it out at some point. We'll see if that happens. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy where I'm at. Once things clear up, I want to get back to training. Yeah, like you said, touching hands, being with other people. I mean, that's, I think, yeah, a huge point of where the learning happens, right? It's just like touching hands or partnering or even just talking with somebody else and being like, you know what? I see you're doing something like this. Let's kind of just tweak it a little bit, not be annoying, but and then you realize, oh, mine might be out a little bit too. And then you just kind of self-correct, right? So, yeah. Do you guys have mirrors in your club? Like, do you train with mirrors? Another random question for you.
No, we don't use any mirrors, no. Yeah. No, if somebody plays their silimpao, we just find a line on the wall or some type of line, play it off of that. There's all kinds of things to... You could have something in the middle with a stick and everybody could stand in the circle. But my Sifu was insistent on the idea that we never have like a line of individuals that everybody lines up and like, never like that. That a clone is a reflection of the Ving Sun system itself. We're supposed to relax. We're supposed to be relaxed. So when I would come, I would usually always be there when we opened up. But let's say you came to Moi 29's class when all the Sifus were there and all the students were there. You might have like 20 people there and a lot of older Sihangs. When you walk in, you might see two guys playing their Silam Tao. You might see a couple of guys in the mirror, playing their Chum Q. You might see a couple other people working on a technique. You might see a couple people just resting and just talking about something that's Kung Fu related. And so that's the same model that I have.
Right. So kind of easygoing. That sounds awesome. So like a looser structure? Is that kind of how you describe it? Or like...
It's just the structure that my Sifu continually emphasized.
Nice.
You continually emphasize this idea that you don't line up in military kind of forms and you don't have all these units. Of course, we would do things together. Like if we were to do a field girk or something, we might do it in lines of three or four at a time and move up and down the floor or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if it was looser. I've just seen some other places that were more uptight. How about that?
No, that's
more. I'm just joking when I say that. More, they have a little bit more structure.
Sure.
We were taught that the structure should be informal and spontaneous.
Yeah. Okay. There is structure in our club and. It's kind of like, it's system, just like, Wing Chun, I guess, do some warm up, do some drills, kind of maybe some form, not always structured like that, but, just there's a certain time where class is. So it's like, we kind of hit these things, get them accomplished, and there's our class for the day. And, and that's just kind of how it's been run on our side. So. Yeah, I like it. I like kind of having structure. Clearly, with what's going on now, I know I'm a structure scheduling. Otherwise, the day just runs away,
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of getting back to some of this stuff here. How are you? What can you recommend, say, for me or for anybody that's watching here and in the Wing Chun Talk group here? For like self training at home, you got some recommendations?
I'm not exaggerating. I know that Silam Tao, more Silam Tao, and I know that that sounds trite or kind of sounds like a platitude or something like that. But that's the answer, man. That's my answer.
Yep.
There's so much to explore in Silam Tao. Ving Sun can't be taught, but you can learn it. And in this way, a Sifu can help you with proper hand and foot positions and proper structure and in Silam Tao can help you with timing and stuff, but he can't help you to feel the proper energy. And the only way to feel the proper energy is to really give yourself to Silam Tao and just play it, not as a mystical event or a spiritual journey. I'm just not talking like that. I'm talking just playing Silam Tao the way your Sifu tells you to play Silam Tao. It's just a wonderful form. Mm-hmm. And if you give yourself to Silam Tao, all your other work seems to go up. If you got like real crummy Silam Tao, the other stuff seems to reflect the blood. So it sounds kind of like a pat answer or a tight answer, but it really isn't. It's my answer. And you have a good structure there with Silam Tao, but we kind of think that Silam Tao is the beginner's form.
Right.
And I'm not a beginner anymore. I'm advanced. I've been playing Ving Sun for X amount of time. But my Sifu never taught me that Silam Tao was for beginners. my Sifu was always excited about Song Tao, and now I understand why. Mm-hmm. And same thing with my seedlings. They would come and they wouldn't talk about, you know, different things in different forms. They would always seem to be talking, and I would hear them talking. Wow, this, I experienced this in Song Tao. Has this ever happened with you? And then the other cat would be like, well, yeah, I didn't know how to break the ice. I thought that was a bit peculiar myself. And they begin sharing with one another. And it's like, oh, wow, man. There's so much ahead of me. Things sound so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe I'll speak to all myself. Maybe it's not other people. But yeah, you kind of, there's a tendency for maybe myself, maybe others. It's just like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? And this, like, carrot, you're just like, I want to learn the next one. And you forget about the stuff at the beginning, which maybe it's, you're right. Like, it's, it should be throughout, right?
Like, like that. Like, when we're chisaoing, mm-hmm. we have effective chisao when we don't think in the future, right? When we just deal. You ever chisao and you think, I want to practice this technique, and you can't get the technique off, but you keep thinking in the future instead of dealing with the questions and answers conversation that you're having right now, right?
Yes.
And so there it is again, you know, how if we just appreciate the moment, and if we're in the moment that we are developing in Ving Sun, then we always blossom and flow. If we think into the future, it brings problems that aren't there if we just concentrate in the moment. Same thing, like if somebody gets off an effective strike, it's a good thing to review it. How did that happen?
Right.
But you can't keep living there. Because then you find you keep getting hit with that same technique. And then you get frustrated and you begin reviewing it over and over. It's just like, just deal with what your Sifu tells you to do. Feel your sensitivity on the center line and deal with any questions and answers accordingly with the right answers to the right questions instead of throwing off a technique. If one is going to throw off a technique, then you have to feed your partner the wrong energy so that they do their answer correctly so that you can do your technique. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all those things that our Sifus tell us, I think that they're hard learned lessons that can help us to avoid a lot of wasted energy. Ving Sun is all about economy of motion, economy of energy, and that not only comes in the forms and the fighting and the practicing, but also in the teaching. It's simple to learn, and also in the learning. You know, we have to be in the right kind of mind frame to learn. If we're always in the future, we're just always going to get hit. You know, always going to get hit.
Yeah, so. I know. Right. That's the truth. So some self-training we were talking about there, you figure spend more time on the Silin Tao, which is awesome. I'm kind of going back to the basics. I mean, like I said, just kind of going in the garage and doing some warm-ups and punching and some blocks, or, you know, Fon Sao, Ton Sao, Pak Sao in the air with stepping, right? So simple stuff, which is, I think, the building blocks of Wing Chun, just the simple stuff, right? So after, you know, when things clear with what's going on, COVID, which is happening now, so if people are watching this down the road, that's kind of what's going on right now. How what's going to be different for you? What do you hope to be back to normal? What's your normal training, and how does that look for you?
It's difficult to forecast, isn't it? You know, this idea when things get back to normal. So I teach here with individuals that some of them are graduate students. So when the university, when the time there is done, when the graduate is fall, some of our students will be leaving. Others, you know, will just not be around because it's summertime. So this summer, if we're still here, because I have a job offer in another state, COVID ruined that. I was supposed to fly up and be interviewed for it. And, the 28th of last month came and went. And so you just got to be at peace with that.
Sure.
So if we end up staying here, because, you know, they don't want us moving around, et cetera, then, we'll just be doing a lot more advertising and interviewing. When I interview students, it doesn't mean that I take the student. Okay. I've turned away more students than we've accepted. And of course, those students that made New Year's resolutions and stuff like that, you know, 9 out of 10 that are interested, you know, usually don't return that kind of thing.
So
we always want to keep offering Wing Chun to people of good moral character or potential good moral character, and those that can bring it forward. I think that healthy Wing Chun is a Wing Chun that reproduces beyond itself. Mm. That's just my personal conviction.
Sure. Do you have a physical location, or do you do kind of like do you have a gym that you? Or like a home gym?
I use my residence. We've gone out to the park and we've looked into the local athletic place. But we don't feel a real need. You know, my sequel always reminded me of how cramped it was for Grandmaster Yip Man in Hong Kong, and how Wing Chun was able to flourish in cramped conditions. And even, you know, how the Mukyong Zhong, you can have so much kung fu in such a small space. We've experienced the same thing, to be sure.
Awesome.
So if there's a need to expand beyond what we have now, we'll do that. But I'm not that eager to hang a shingle. Once you hang a shingle, everything changes.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent, man. I totally appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with me. I think we'll kind of wrap there. We've touched on some training, some thoughts, some of the system, how you guys do it in your line as well. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way of getting in touch with you, whether it's Facebook or, how can people connect with you?
On Facebook, I think the group page is that what it's called, the group page? But anyway, Jack Stady Wing Chun.
Okay.
Stady is spelled STAITI. I think you have my name here. I can barely see it if you
find it. See who Jack Stady.
Yeah, Jack Stady Wing Chun should be able to find it. And also Sifu Jack 3 be able to find my other page. And Sean, I just want to say it was wonderful that when you contacted me, and I just feel it's just so wonderful your enthusiasm for Wing Chun and your enthusiasm for growing in Wing Chun. I just think that you got a bright future ahead of you, and I encourage you just to keep doing what you're doing, brother. I think you're doing a great job.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad you could take the time, and it worked, and I look forward to connecting again with you.
Okay, peace to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Wing Chun Talk Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with someone you know who will also enjoy it. If you haven't already, make sure to follow or subscribe to catch all upcoming episodes.